Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Celestia Spotlight, where we hear from the people at the forefront of the modular movement. I'm Nick White, COO of Celestia Labs, and today I'm joined by Ishai, co-founder of Dimension Labs. Dimension is the home of the roll apps, not roll ups, but roll apps, meaning sort of roll up application specific chains. And they're building a modular settlement layer and RDK, roll-up development kit, for Cosmos-based roll-ups. So we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff, settlement, you know, different roll-up frameworks, bridging, all of that fun stuff. Ishai, thanks for coming on. Welcome.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here, of course. Let's talk about Dimension. Let's talk about Celestia. Let's talk about modular blockchains and see if we can get some cool insights.
Yeah, sounds good. Just if I rewind the clock, I remember this is probably over a year ago when very few people were talking about modular blockchains, and all of a sudden this Twitter account popped up called Dimension, and it was saying, you know, oh, we're building a roll-up development kit and doing modular blockchains and like totally gung-ho. And internally in Celestia, we're like, oh, who are these people? This is so cool. Like, you know, we were stoked to see it because we internally have been talking about the need for like a roll-up development kit and all that, like to make it easier for people to build roll-ups, and like also to see you guys just fully embrace modular blockchains at that time when like we were kind of the only people sort of banging the drum, just got us really thrilled. So I just love to hear about like kind of the founding story of Dimension, and even, you know, how you got into blockchains and specifically modular blockchains. So let's start there.
Definitely. Obviously, credit for you guys. Like, there's a lot of visionaries in Celestia and top-notch researchers that influenced Dimension and brought us towards this paradigm, which, you know, we truly believe, like, this is the way to go. It's, like, technically the way to go. Let's go back to that tweet and that vision. Like, we, as a co-founding team, worked together on some ideas on ZK, and like we came to a conclusion that it's not fun, and it's not kind of working towards where we think where we think there's potential. And at the time, like Cosmos was not at the time, like since then, like Cosmos was like banging. It was showing kind of a different vibe, you know, from the other alt L1 scenes. It made us curious, and it made us feel like, okay, there's an opportunity there kind of to bring a new thing to horizontal scaling, to look at it from a different perspective. And you know, and then we found about, you know, we researched everything, and we looked at Celestia as well, because you were, as you said, you're kind of the pioneers in modular. And we said, oh, this makes a lot of sense. This is like traditional web. Like, you know, you don't have like a website with everything. You know, it's divided into a way that, you know, the economic units are perfected and everything works properly. And from there, you know, we're kind of noobs in Cosmos SDK. We didn't understand a lot, like, but we had this vision of what needs to be done. We had this vision of where Dimension is the product market fit, in terms of like settlement, in terms of, you know, even considering Celestia, like what Celestia's core offering is and what Dimension can bring to the table and what is Dimension generally. So we kind of, you know, we had some research, we had some POCs, and we understand, okay, this is something that is doable. This is something that we can, pragmatic, that we can build this. We can take our product capabilities and we can bring something to the table that, you know, changes the whole scene. This is something, this is a different ballgame, because we're taking Cosmos into like imagine in a different dimension, and this is kind of the game in a different dimension. Blockchains are not blockchains, they're rollups. But the more we kind of got into it, we understand like rollups are blockchains, but it was very interesting to see like how we can elegantly assemble and restack the Cosmos and modular stack, and come up with something so powerful and, in my opinion, just substantially better. Like it's, I remember talking to people and they asked like, okay, what, why is this better? And I was like, I hate to be cocky, but it's just, it's better. That, you know, it's better. You have the capabilities of deploying a chain is like deploying a server. And now you can have this, you can have value coming to your, you know, to your decentralized business or to your distributed economy the way it should be. And from scale, yeah, obviously a lot of people talk about scale. Like there's infinite people would tell you about TPS and yada, yada, yada. But it's obviously that's also being taken care of. And latency is ultra low and everything works better because there is no consensus on the rollup level. And security is higher. So there's so much advantages. So it was like a no brainer. And for us, it's okay, we're going for this all the way. We're just heading and we're building this and it doesn't matter. And we just learned along the way what needs to be done. And we got to the point where, you know, we understand how it works and we released GitHub, we released our documentation. You know, we can show that people can build a rollup right now and it's super flexible. You can put, you know, there's a lot of stuff that the Cosmos ecosystem has kind of, you know, is brought to the table for us. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can choose your VM. This is stuff that we didn't, you know, we didn't work on, and we should thank the people that work on these materials, but it just, it brings the offering of Dimension into a different level. And it truly is a different level. You can go ahead right now. You can play with the docs. You can see that you can deploy a very, very high performance rollup with EVM, with CosmWasm, soon with other VMs. And yeah, it's just super exciting.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, everything that you're saying to me, I mean, makes so much sense because, you know, actually resonates a lot with what I believe in, which is, you know, at Cosmoverse last year, I talked about the internet of modular blockchains, which is basically that, you know, in order to achieve the full vision of the Cosmos ecosystem, we have to take the Cosmos stack modular, you know, and that's basically exactly what you guys are doing. You're kind of like taking a lot of the abstractions and the tools that were built, but adapting them to this new framework that adds in a lot of the components of the original Cosmos stack is missing. Like it's so much overhead to launch a new Cosmos zone. You don't have a secure way of bridging between the chains, but in a modular stack with Dimension, you can get that. And I also do want to reemphasize, as you did, that this is all happening because we're building on the shoulders of giants, where I think the Cosmos community, developer community, is like one of the strongest and best in the space. And the founders and leaders are just visionaries who came up with like kind of the precursor to modular blockchains, which is like, you know, modularizing the software stack of blockchains and things like, you know, these interchain standards like IBC that I think are going to, you know, continue to be state of the art and like foundational kind of components of the modular blockchain stack going forward. But so anyway, yeah, you guys are kind of taking Cosmos modular as one way that I like to think about it. So maybe let's go a little bit deeper into like specifically what is Dimension made out of? You mentioned there's a settlement layer. You know, you did mention that there's also a rollup SDK. So let's like, tell me more about those things. Like, what do they actually look like under the hood?
So let's talk about the rollup SDK. We love to call it the RDK. It's just fun to say the RDK. So there's a difference between a rollup and the chain in several roles, I would say. So in the blockchain, of the validator set is kind of like, I like to talk in metaphors, by the way, so I hope that's fine. The validator set is also the parliament that represents the people, but it's also the government that takes action. So in the RDK, it's different. It's partitioned into two. There's one role that takes care of the government, basically the operating sequencer, or the operating business entity. It's the sequencer. And for the RDK, we have something that's called the dividend parameter that says how much are you willing to, as a sequencer, to give out to the community. And governance is governed by, but not the validators, by different beings, I would say. I don't want to spoil, but there's a lot of cool stuff that we're building. But it's different. So there's like two houses in a rollup. But the RDK itself is just, it's based on the Cosmos SDK. Like you said, we're building on this great technology that other people built and open source, and we're very grateful for that. And we can give our, you know, flavor of building blockchains, by using it and by leveraging the code base that was already there. We just look at it from a different angle and we think, what can we do better? And this is why Dimension is Dimension. We really look at the most pragmatic way of deploying a blockchain, of getting to the performance that you need, and actually looking at it from a pragmatic way of, you know, the things that people want when they deploy a blockchain. Like liquidity, they want security out the box. They want liquidity. They want to choose their VM. This is what people need, like in terms of not just bullshitting with all these, you know, the crypto regular stuff narratives and, you know, TPS stuff and stuff like that. That's bullshit. Just like, what do developers really want? They just want like easy way, in my opinion. And other people on my team could even argue different, but in my opinion, like there's, people want the flexibility, they want the ease of use, they want this one-click blockchain deployment that is secure, that is liquid. And this is what I believe the next phase for blockchain and what brings us towards, hopefully, like a next bull run, because we can deploy like 1,000 of these instances which are secure, which have liquidity, and could operate like as a modular internet of value. And this is where like Celestia and Dimension really combine the vision, and you know, each one is working on its specific core forte, specific like core offering that they specialize in, and kind of vision their way. And and by building this together, it's like creating a modular internet of value, which we hope you, myself, obviously a lot of people in the crypto community, will bring innovation and real use cases and innovative products.
Yeah, you said it really well. And that's kind of why the modular flag is, you know, modularism, not maximalism. Like, rather than in a monolithic world, you know, each project kind of has to do everything on its own and bootstrap its own ecosystem and think about solving every problem and tying it all together. And the beauty of a modular ecosystem is that, you know, Celestia can just focus on providing the best consensus and DA layer, and then, you know, projects like Dimension can focus on the actual execution layer, the settlement part of it, and tie those all together, add liquidity, and make it as easy as possible for those users that want to deploy a blockchain with one click. So totally on board with that, and stoked that we're getting to work together on this. Because like, there's no way that Celestia could solve all these problems, you know, on its own. And
sort of there's so much problems even for Celestia itself, and even for Dimension itself. It's like building these distributed systems is something that, okay, you think, you know, for me, I'm not a huge Twitter guy, but I'm always looking at like people arguing on Twitter, and then I'm seeing like there's a lot of problems that you're getting there always. You're always on research. It's a new paradigm. It's a new thing. And this is exactly what you said, like focusing on creating the best core offering, like specific concentrated core offering that Celestia, Dimension, or other players in the modular ecosystem do is what gives us value, right? What builds like a full ecosystem that is, that each one of the particles, each one of the components is valuable. And this is just like Web 2 technology. It's not different. It's this, you know, a lot of people, and I know like Celestia folks, I guess you probably don't like this metaphor, but for me, it's just the same as front end, back end, and database. That's it. There's like front end, it's like the execution layer where you as a consumer, as a client, you're facing, this is the UX that you get. This is what you feel. right? On the back end is like a settlement layer, like that basically takes care of everything, that everything works, like the front end, you know, talks to her, like it updates her, it or her, whatever. And there's a scalable database that provides the capability of creating, of distributing data without centralizing it. And this is Celestia. And, you know, people are, you know, and I read a tweet by Mustafa that he said, like, we should change like data availability name. Like, we should think about like the name. And I have a proposal for you right now. You should call it data scaling. It's a data scaling layer. It's data availability is a problem, like of data withholding attack. But Celestia is about scaling data. It's not about the specific edge case that is within the data withholding attack. But you know, that's just my input. But the way I think that people should look at modular blockchains is data, back end, front end. That's it.
No, we were a big fan of analogies because, you know, frankly, the technology is so confusing that like you need to relate it to something else to make it understandable and legible. And I like analogizing it to Web 2 stacks. So I really love that. And like, you know, the way that I think about it a lot is that, you know, modular blockchains are more like cloud computing in that. You know, you have infrastructure providers like AWS or Azure or what have you, and they just provide like the raw compute resource. And then it's developers that come and deploy whatever virtual machines they need, or whatever servers they need to run their web application. And I think that that's kind of what's happening in modular blockchains. We have these really scalable, sort of like economies of scale type. You know, systems like Celestia that just provide raw data availability and consensus, and then these developers come on and deploy the blockchain like computer that they need. And so, like, yeah, these analogies I think are like super valuable. And I like the database one, and the data scaling
Actually,
is a good one. Go ahead.
I didn't think that you like it. Like I this it's not completely accurate, right? It's not, there's so much more to it, but you can't, you know, people, not everybody has, you know, the capabilities of understanding every problem that distributed systems have, but you need to give them, and you need to, you know, bring it to them in a way that we can understand, we can talk.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, no analogy is ever perfect, and that's why, you know, people who are super technical like Mustafa often he always has a nitpick with every analogy that we use. But I'm like the big picture guy, and I'm always like, you know what? We just have to like, it's useful even if it's not perfectly accurate. But back to Dimension, right? So the people listening, they want to know more about Dimension specifically, and sort of how it works under the hood, and like what the vision is. So I want to dial into specifically like the settlement hub of Dimension. And first, like what is its purpose, what is its function, and how does it work, and like why do you think that this is a key component to sort of the end vision of like modularizing the Cosmos stack?
Sure. So Dimension, to kind of simplify, I'm trying to simplify everything. Dimension is an app chain, which the application of the app chain of this Cosmos SDK chain, which uses Tendermint, is to support rollups. Rollups, they work in a different manner. They have different, they don't use Tendermint, they use Diamond, which is actually a Roman fork. But it's a consensus-less client, so there's no consensus. It actually delegates consensus to the Dimension Hub, which is a Cosmos SDK chain, built specifically to take this consensus, to basically to power these rollups. I like to think about it as this is kind of, you know, you as a rollup, you connect into the Dimension Hub. This is the architecture. It's built into the rails, so it's not like on the smart contract layer. Let's take a look at Ethereum, for example. If you want to build a roll up on top of Ethereum, you would go to the smart contract layer, you would design how that would work, and you would update this smart contract on Ethereum. Dimension works on the chain itself. It's calculated, it's built to support these rollups into the rails. It's baked into the logic. And this is what makes it super special, that the consensus itself is to support rollups, right? So let's take a scenario where, God forbid, Arbitrum or Optimism, the bridge rollup, the bridge smart contract gets hacked. Ethereum does not, Ethereum just moves on. It doesn't, it's not built, it's a smart contract on Ethereum, and Ethereum can't stop. Like, it's not built for this purpose. But for Dimension, like, hacking, or if there's a problem in the bridge, there's a problem in the whole system. So the whole system is designed to support rollups into the rails itself. I hope that makes sense.
So, like, if there is something that goes wrong on a given rollup that's built that's settling to the Dimension hub, then there's a way to kind of recover from that without impacting the other rollups. Is that kind
It's
of what you're
just
saying?
like, in terms of social consensus, like, every rollup is a similar kind of first class citizen in Dimension, right? So it's a system that's built in the same manner. So there's no difference between like Arbitrum and Optimism implementation. This everybody is kind of getting this infrastructure from the Dimension hub. So if there's a problem with one thing, there's like obviously this consensus, okay, this whole system is not working properly. Let's fix this. This is our number one goal, and it is to provide rollups with the security and the liquidity that they need. And it's different than Ethereum. Ethereum obviously is huge inspiration for everybody, but it's not built specifically to support rollups. Although it's going there, but it's not built specifically for that.
I'm curious, is it permissionless for people to deploy new rollups on Dimension, or is there some kind of like governance part?
No, this is the huge, we're betting in Dimension, we're betting on human ingenuity. We're betting that if we're making something permissionless, we're gonna see some cool shit. We're gonna see some cool stuff. People are gonna build amazing stuff. Once we put in governance, and once we put in a permission way, it's more similar to Polkadot or a lot of other systems right now. We want to have a permissionless system, and we will have a permissionless system where anybody could deploy a rollup without asking anybody. Obviously, to get there is kind of a training wheel way, and there will be permission rollup at start, at the beginning. But once we make sure that the system is secure enough, it will go permissionless, and it's an essential part in the Dimension vision, in the Dimension stack. I think in the blockchain ethos as well, like in everything, like the governance is something that's pretty cool in Cosmos, by the way, but it shouldn't be the sole you can't decide who gets to build an application or not. And if you can do that, that's you're missing the place. You're not in the right spot.
And before we hopped on the call, I remember we were discussing this all VM thing that you mentioned. Can you give us a little bit of some color on that? Because it sounds like some really interesting technology could unlock true, like a universal settlement layer type of thing. So I'd love to like dive into that a little bit.
So this is a great way to describe a universal settlement thing, or for state machines. So obviously a settlement layer in an optimistic setup needs to emulate the state machine of a rollup that's deployed on top of it, because it needs to know what happened in case of any dispute. It's like it's the supreme justice, right? It's the court. And if you don't know what happened, you don't have the evidence, you can't say anything. So RVM is a roll-up virtual machine, and what it means is that we emulate the state machine. We take the context and the state machine of the roll-up. We emulate this for the disputed transaction, and we conclude, is it fraud or is it not? The way we do it is, it's Omri, my co-founder, has a lot of experience in DevOps and just, Dockers and emulating environments, and it comes from just taking this experience into blockchain. But essentially, the vision is to emulate like you emulate any other virtual machine. You emulate the virtual machine of a roll-up, and you conclude what's the fraud according to it and according to the context that is injected with the fraud proof.
Got it. So, and so pe for people who don't, it may not appreciate how cool this is. Like, one of the challenges of, doing roll-ups and sort of doing settlement is that each roll-up will have its own kind of application logic and potentially its own virtual machine, et cetera. And in order to do dispute resolution, you have to know what that logic is typically. And so what that means is, like, I mean, one of the whole benefits of the app chain thesis and like roll apps is that every roll app or like application specific chain or roll up has its own execution logic, its own virtual machine. So it's all customized. But then that means that your settlement layer has to know about every single one of these different execution sort of frameworks, and that can easily
It
get out of
knows,
hand.
Nick, it knows the hash. It knows the specific, it knows to prove that this state machine is this is what they say it is once they submit the state machine. So, for example, I would try to create a metaphor. It's hard, but it's like I'm gonna bring a judge a machine. I'm gonna bring it to the judge, right? And I'm gonna prove to the judge that this was the machine that was used in the crime scene, okay? Once you prove it, you say, okay, this is the machine. Now the judge could take the machine, could put in the whatever input it has, see the output, and then it gives the machine back to the person and says, okay, thank you, bye-bye. And then it gives the verdict is done, and we continue. But like you said, it's really exciting because it really is kind of a breakthrough. And we thought a lot about the names. I'm a big name junkie, and I thought like chain and chain, RV, there's a lot of cool stuff that we thought about this, but it's very cool. It's just something that we really want to develop and bring to the first stage of production.
Or was it all VM?
No, it's RVM, roll-up
RVM.
virtual
Okay,
machine.
RVM. Okay,
Yeah.
got it. Yeah, in fact, the way when you're describing it, it sounds a lot like what they, as I understand how Polkadot works, in that when you are running a parachain, you have like an app hash, or like you have a hash of like the WebAssembly sort of like logic that the like implements the parachain. So it sounds like there's something similar going on there. And then I know that like the relay chain nodes like pull that, they verify that this is the right state machine to be running, and then they like verify the parachain and then like vote or something. So it sounds kind of similar, but like in a much more
It is.
modular. So it's cool because I see this happening a lot where projects like Polkadot were very close to sort of like a modular setup, but they didn't like they weren't yet these abstractions or like the technology like data availability sampling or even roll-ups. So they couldn't actually go all the way, but they got as close as you could to being fully modular, but they kind of had to be stopped short, unfortunately. And there's so many parallels, and a lot of people get confused and they're like, well, isn't Polkadot modular? But the truth is that like when you get down to the brass tacks, they're not quite modular. They don't quite have the same sort of scalability and shared security that Celestia plus Dimension or other modular setups have. So anyway, it's cool to see these common themes and technologies kind of recurring and being reinvented, but fully modular. So.
Definitely. I'm not a, forgive me, but I'm not a big fan of Polkadot, but they like the tech stack is amazing. It's sometimes I'm a product guy, and like I think Dimension, is a product first company, and we want to create the most convenient way for anybody to interact with the system. And just because I feel like I don't have a convenient way to interact with Polkadot technology, I may have like a bad impression, but they have some amazing stuff, that they figured out pretty early, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. The last thing on this point is just like, people also like I would say that within the modular stack, you have consensus, data availability, execution, and settlement. And people tend to get the most confused about the settlement layer for a lot of reasons because it's kind of it has lots of different functions. To me, the two primary functions are basically bridging and like, it being able to route liquidity or like message passing essentially in a trust minimized way between rollups and being like a liquidity hub, right? So that you can not have all like tons of different versions of assets on different chains depending on how they've been sort of moved between each other. And you don't have to have like this crazy dense interconnected web of bridges. You can just have like a very clean kind of like hub and spoke bridging model. So that's one.
Router.
Yeah, exactly. Router, kind of like the original Cosmos Hub vision. And then the other one is dispute resolution, which is where like in an, and that's specifically for optimistic rollups where you sometimes need, if you have like an interactive verification game that you need to run in order to decide which is the valid chain to follow, you need a place where that game takes place, and you can't do it in a peer-to-peer way. It kind of has to happen on a chain. So those are the two main functions. It sounds like the Dimension Hub is doing both of those things essentially. It's meant to be both the dispute resolution layer and a bridging hub and asset hub. Is that fair to say?
That's definitely fair to say, but I think like from our focus, and this is coming back to what I said, like Dimension is a product first protocol, or I would say like our target is, we didn't say, okay, we want to do this and we want to do this. No, we just said like, okay, what do people want? Like, what do they need? Like, essentially, initially, we didn't have like liquidity. We said like, there's no smart contract. There's no any activity on the Dimension Hub, no economic activity at all. But then we thought like, okay, developers, builders, they just want liquidity and security. And from that requirements, we kind of came up with the Dimension design. We didn't go through the research, we didn't go through like the blockchain regular route where we say we want to do this, no, we said like what's needed. What's needed, and this is needed. This is something that we believe that there is like demand for it. People want to deploy app chains. Deploying an app chain is hard, I know, because we're doing it. We're talking to like a 1,000 validators a day, and it's hard. There's a lot of stuff to do, and there's amazing cool projects that you probably also know that work on creating this roll-up experience where you can deploy it. Can deploy a blockchain easily, and this is how we got to kind of to the Dimension design, not just regarding settlement. It's just it grew there because of research of what people want, of what we think that people want. Of course, we didn't launch yet, so.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys are so product oriented because I think that's something that the space has kind of been lacking. There's been a lot of just engineering for engineering's sake or research for research's sake. Like, hey, this is cool. We're solving a problem, but we're not actually thinking about the end user. We're just kind of like scratching our own itch in terms of wanting to like build cool tech. And I think in order for a blockchain
And
to
there's a lot of people who are even not even building. There's this, It's
That's true.
there's so much, Dimension is not a marketing firm. Dimension is not about creating, I don't know, the best ambassador program or the best, it's a product first firm. And people, we after like, the situation with crypto right now, people should understand like, okay, we're trying to build something that's useful. We're trying to build something that's protects people from, events like we've witnessed right now. We're trying to build a really useful economy that's online and that's free. And people should not be, people should not look at projects by how good is, the leader or how good is, the marketing team. People should look at what do they feel could bring value to the ecosystem and even to the world, to be honest.
And I think that in order for blockchain to go mainstream and to be, adopted widely, like we need product-oriented builders. And so, again, yeah, just glad that you guys start with that as your North Star. So we covered the settlement layer, and that was extremely interesting. Tell me a little bit more about the RDK, the Rollup Development Kit. And sort of what is the vision for that, and what's the status of it, and like what kind of, you mentioned there's a bunch of different execution environments you guys support. Like let's talk about that. Give me the lowdown on the RDK.
Awesome. So the RDK is originated from the SDK, but it has a few differences I mentioned before. That a rollup is not a Cosmos chain. It has different, just not it's not that it's not a Cosmos chain. Actually, it is a blockchain, but it has just a different tweak to it, where the sequencers operate the chain and not the validators. And we're planning to put in something new that brings in governance in a different way. I don't want to ruin the surprise that's coming. But I do want to share that on the RDK, like the Cosmos SDK, you can put in different VMs like Ethermint, which thanks to the Evmos team is built and could support the EVM. And you can put in Cosmos Wasm, and hopefully in the future Fuel and Move, maybe whatever you can put on the Cosmos SDK is relevant for Dimension rollups. I would say that in the vision, the RDK is kind of a development kit for an decentralized online decentralized autonomous chain that is kind of a business. It's more of a business. We focus on value accrual. We want to say, okay, a sequencer is an operator. It's like the CEO, or it's like the company, and the token holders are like the shareholders, and there's also like board members. And this is an online business, and we want to create this distributed online business work without anybody interfering in the middle, and creating this value accrual mechanisms that enable people to, okay, so let's get a community together, let's build something cool that makes money, let's work together, and let's keep it sustainable. Let's keep this thing running with its own shares, I would say. Like the tokens of a rollup, they should accrue value. Like everything, every operation in there should accrue value to the token holders, and it's all governed by them, by the rollup itself. The only thing a rollup needs to do is it needs to get security from base layers like Celestia, like Dimension. It gets liquidity as well, but it's essentially, it's also I hate to say, but it is a business. It is some sort of a business. It can run, it can be losing forever. Yeah, it can't, it could be a charity, it could be cool, but it's also something that people want, and it's a community. It's kind of, I would say, it's like an economic organism on the internet that doesn't need to have the overhead of technically building a blockchain, which is hard. We know it's hard. You know it's hard. I know it's hard. But people that are just psyched about NFTs and psyched about communities and psyched about games, they don't need to go into like CS PhD research topics, they don't want to be there. They shouldn't be there. They just need to have a framework where they say, okay, this is some cool thing. This is some cool infrastructure that I can use, and I can distribute profits to whoever wanted to invest in me. And I can do it fairly in a cryptographically way where I don't scam anyone, and everything is, and every part of what happens is verifiable and open. And this is the vision that we have for the RDK, for rollups, for blockchain. And yeah, I think it's cool, and we'll get there.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that you guys are thinking about, and this is the first time I've heard, the governance and the economic sustainability of the rollups on Dimension from the get-go. And solving that problem is actually huge. I would also guess from like a user perspective, that's probably one of the things that they think about and worry about a lot. And like making sure that the rollups that are built are economically sustainable. That's actually,
I would say like in terms of marketing, Nick, in terms of like, what is the messaging for people? Why should people build on Dimension rollups? Is value. Like, mm-hmm. We provide infrastructure that will enable you to create more value for your token holders, for yourself. Mm-hmm. This is like the economic 101 that we have in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that point, well, there's two things I want to say to expand on that. One is that one of the benefits of a modular blockchain stack is that you don't have to actually pay for your own security. Like when you're running your own blockchain, like a monolithic blockchain, you are really paying for your own security. You have to sort of like you have to pay the validators through inflation staking rewards and stuff like that. And in a roll-up modular model, you just pay as you go, as you consume block space, and you benefit from economies of scale. So like you share that cost, and it becomes much lower per roll-up than it would be if everyone was their own chain trying to secure itself and run its own infrastructure. Like you share the infrastructure. So anyway, that's a huge part. The second thing is in terms of like value capture for rollups, one of the things that I'm excited about, and maybe this is something you guys are thinking about too, is like one of the big reasons for an application to move from a monolithic chain, like let's say I'm a DEX on Solana or a DEX on Ethereum, is I might want to move to my own chain so that I can capture MEV. Right, when there is like this, there's a lot of value that people can capture via MEV. Like that, if you do it on Ethereum or Solana, it kind of like bleeds down to the layer one. But in a modular stack, your rollup can actually capture that if you implement it in the right way. And there's some cool teams thinking about that, like Skip, also very active in the Cosmos ecosystem. So I don't know if that's something that you guys have thought about, but I also see that as a really big economic driver for why people would choose to build modular versus monolithic long term.
Of course, it's, you know, you can't expect businesses, you know, even if they're decentralized and distributed, to just hand over value and just say, okay, yeah, you know, I'm with Ethereum, you know, I like Vitalik, it's you know, okay, let's just not make money, let's just not be profitable or economically sustainable. It's not going to go, it doesn't work like that, in my opinion. And I think like we should treat blockchains as kind of distributed companies, essentially in the future. Mm-hmm. And like communities with a financial kind of shared goal.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. I love the word you said, which is like an economic organism on the internet. Like that's a really good way to describe what a blockchain is. Last thing, now we like I understand now the settlement layer, the RDK, and that vision. Now I want to zoom out a little bit and like understand how does this plug into Celestia, and like why did you guys choose to build on Celestia versus, you know, other ways of that you could build your stack or other DA layers? I'm just curious to get that picture of this project.
I think I started, like when we started talking, I told you like Celestia is a pioneer in modular blockchain. So for us, modular is about, you know, focusing on the core offering. I think Celestia's core offering is data scaling. It allows thousands, if not, you know, tens of thousands of rollups to submit data and to have it distributed in a decentralized way where we can know that everything works properly. And obviously, for that reason, Celeste is the best choice for data. If you would put data on the Dimension Hub, it could fit, you know, demand of one, two, three, four, five, six rollups. Once you go further than that, you know, you start centralizing and it starts becoming more hard. So obviously Celeste is in terms of the tech is the best. And you know, as I said before, like this is modular. You want to choose the best fitting piece of the puzzle to work with you to get the best product. And that's how it should be. So
I
yeah.
appreciate that. Yeah, and I think that one of the benefits that Celestia has had is that we have gotten the privilege to start from scratch, you know, with these insights of modular stack. Like it seems like, you know, Ethereum is moving towards a modular model, but they kind of have the baggage of a monolithic L1 to sort of deal with and overcome, and I think that holds them back from going fully modular. And then, you know, even Solana, it seems actually from some of the discussions on Twitter that they're thinking more seriously about, you know, light clients and all that stuff. But again, there's so much baggage in the way that they've built that I can't really see them ever making the full pivot. Or if they did, they might just have to start over and sort of scrap
I gotta
everything
be
that
honest with you,
exists.
Nick. I love the Solana guys. I think that they're awesome. I really love, you know, what they're building. They're just builders, and they build what they believe in. You know, even if you know there's kind of differences. I love the community, and there's huge respect for what you know they're going through right now and what they're showing. But yeah, even though they're trying to make like the system itself more reliable for end users with die clients and stuff like that, which is great. But I have a lot of respect for them. I really like what they did, what they built. It's just inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. I have I think that they the sort of the rigor and also the practicality, the pragmatism of their engineering, the roadmap is like pretty
Exactly.
astounding. And like, yeah, I'm also a fan. Anyway, that kind of actually brings me to one, like I have some big picture questions to ask you before we sort of like wrap up, that are sort of more like about the modular space more generally. Like one of the things I want to talk about, since you're kind of in the Cosmos ecosystem, you know, there's also a movement in Cosmos for shared security, right? There's this notion of interchain security, where the hub or another Cosmos zone can actually loan out security to a new chain that wants to spin up. That way they don't actually have to like start up a new whole network from scratch. And there's also this thing called mesh security where, you know, different chains can actually stake their, like put, take their own stake and put it at risk to validate, another chain. And, these are both different approaches of shared security, but different from the modular approach, which is like having a shared consensus and data network like Celestia. So I'm curious, like, what is your take on those things? Where do you see them fitting in? What are the trade-offs? And yeah, tell me about
Yeah,
your perspective.
you know, first of all, like Cosmos does like what they're trying to do with ICS is super cool. And they are like kind of OGs where we respect like what they build, which is so amazing, and the tech stack itself is amazing. In my opinion, it's not the best way to go. Like technically I don't see it working well. But it might work well to like being kind of this place where like 10 or 5 or 15 or something like a limited amount of chains could kind of incubate. That's possible. That could be super cool, and that could help Atom and Cosmos ecosystem. Mesh security seems very interesting in my opinion. I also see this tech working in the Dimension ecosystem and kind of bringing rollups to contribute security also through the hub, through the value that they get from what's going on rollups. I like the approach of mesh security. I think it's pretty pragmatic. It's cool. For ICS, I think it's kind of creating this how do you say, like an incubator. It's like a good incubator. It's not, I wouldn't say it's like a scaling solution. It's more like a place to start, like Cosmos chains. That would be a good definition for my perspective. But I'm not a huge expert on ICS and the exact differences between the versions and stuff like that and the implementation details, but I think that it's a good solution to bring in new projects and to kind of give them the Atom love, Cosmos hug, and then like free them into sovereignty.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like the sandbox, like the incubator for the space.
Yeah,
I've also
sandbox,
been
right.
interested in interchain security because it has notions of like scheduler and even this way of like sharing MEV. And I even think it can actually be used for like solving decentralized sequencing potentially as like having a shared
I
validator
want to
set
talk
that
about
like.
decentralized sequencing,
All right, let's
Nick,
do it.
if you don't mind. I want to
Let's do
ask
it.
you.
Yeah.
I like, okay, so in Dimension, we decentralize the sequencer by just rotating the sequencer. And like, there's the hub, there's a place where you can point at, and we can say, okay, this is the sequencer now, and this is like, I read a lot about decentralizing sequencers and the challenges, but I would love to hear like what is the real, how do you see the real pinpoint challenge of decentralizing sequencers?
Good question. So for people who are listening, right? So a roll up has to have at least one or multiple nodes that end up actually like, processing the transactions like into blocks and then posting the state updates. And so that's what a sequencer is. And ideally, so you don't actually have to rely on the sequencer to do anything correctly because you have fraud proofs or validity proofs that make you able to like verify that the sequencer is not lying to you at least. However, the sequencer can do certain things like they can censor you or they can just go offline, and that means that all of a sudden you can't really use the rollup. And so you want to have a decentralized sequencer. You want to have sequencing that provides censorship resistance and guarantees some level of liveness so that like the rollup just doesn't go offline or you don't get screwed over. So that's kind of, to me, the goal of decentralized sequencing is that. And so obviously if you have one single sequencer, they can do whatever they want. So like if you have multiple of them, that seems like a very easy way of like providing more censorship resistance and more sort of like robust liveness. However, like there's so many different ways of like skinning a cat, and there's things like, I don't know, maybe CR-less are a way of like ensuring that there's censorship resistance, even if there's only a single sequencer. Or I don't know, maybe there's ways of like economically punishing
We
people
have
who are
lots
not
of,
live.
economically punishing for censorship, but there's also in Dimension Stack, you can become a sequencer by yourself. You don't even have to ask the sequencer. You just post dime, and you get sequencing time according to the dime that you post on the hub. And I think in that way also MEV accrues like down. Like the more you get profit from this, the more profitable this economic organism is, the more people will come and say, okay, I want a piece of this business. This is a good business for me to operate. I'll join in. I'll come in. I'll put more and more and more and more and more until you get to this economic equilibrium, and the roll up lives. But I think Dimension has a very good strategy for decentralized sequencing. But we're all kind of still in the early phases of getting there. We're not production ready with this. We don't really comprehend all the problems that may arise. But
Yeah, one of the cool things that will come out of various solutions of decentralized sequencing is A, like that's the perfect place to capture MEV because if you're sequencing all these rollups, like you are, deciding the ordering, and so you can actually capture MEV. The other cool thing is that actually, as I understand, and I haven't like read up on the research on this, but one of the complaints about the modular stack is that you're doing sharding basically, where each roll up is kind of its own computer, and they can't actually access each other. They can't, like, you can't have composability basically, or atomicity between these roll ups. And I mean, obviously, you can still do cross chain communication. It can be trust minimized, but you have to wait one block time basically, at minimum. But supposedly, with if two rollups share a sequencer set, or there's some kind of way for those sequencers to coordinate with each other, you can actually have cross-chain atomicity. And again, that's all I know. But if that's true, which it seems to be, because a lot of smart people are talking about this, and I think that can be coordinated potentially through this decentralized sequencer layer or network, whatever that looks like. So, like, I think this is going to be a hugely valuable piece of infrastructure, both from the value capture perspective, as well as the, you know, the service. Like, it's just going to be very useful for people, because it makes it so you can truly deploy a rollup out of the box. You don't have to think about any infrastructure, not even, obviously not the data availability or consensus part, but neither the actual, like, node, like running the node infrastructure for the rollup. So yeah, I'm glad that you brought this up, because this is a big topic. And I would love to learn more about, like, sort of the decentralized sequencer approach you guys have. Is there, like, do you guys have any docs, or, like, where can people learn about all these, like, the technology that you guys are building, like the RDK, the settlement hub, and all that?
So first of all, there's GitHub. There's a few private repos, but there's GitHub open. There's the docs. Dimension.xyz. There's a lot of learning material about Dimension, and you can read over there. There's the light paper where we just go over through our whole design, and how we see things, and how it works, and try to be as simple as possible. It's not that hard to read, it's constantly, right? Research is trial and error. You think you know, and then you get to the implementation, and things can change, right? But I think that we're kind of we reached kind of a mature design in terms of the system, in terms of how everything works. Like, I feel like we really kind of got the core fundamentals of everything, and there's some more work to do. But we can talk about this more work, because we're going on to testnet and really, really close. So people could see this in action and experiment with this.
Yeah. So I guess in closing, I wanted to hear, like, what is the roadmap? Like, where's development currently at? What is the roadmap for 2023? Like, what could people expect this year? What can developers who are curious play around with? You know, where do people go if they want to get involved? All that good stuff.
So we didn't invent the crypto social mechanisms. You can come to Discord, and, you know, there's questions. Whoever wants questions, we're there. There's docs that you can play around with. You can run your own node, your own Dimension Hub node, of course, and you can run your own roll app. Basically, it means that you can register your rollup on a Dimension Hub node, and you can say to the Dimension Hub node, hey, I'm a Dimension rollup. I'm obeying to the protocol rules. This is the transaction. Please add me to become a rollup on the Dimension Hub. You can put on that rollup an EVM virtual machine and put on contracts and see the latency, see how it works, see the performance. You can do the same thing with CosmWasm. You can build your own native Go modules on the RDK, which basically means, like, you can build your own rollup with custom business logic. In terms of the roadmap, so we're releasing testnet in February. It's going to be exciting. It's going to have first permission rollups, and you're going to see, like, we're going to have a web app that you can see, that you can move from rollup A to rollup B and see how it works, and kind of have different flavors of rollup. So EVM, CosmWasm, like I said, a native one, see that working. And then we're going to progress into incentivized testnet. There we're going to have permissionless deployment of rollups. We plan to have, like, this thing where people could scout for fraudsters and get reward for this, and this is all incentivized. That's super cool. So you can go ahead and try to create frauds, try to tackle this from the fraudster, and try to tackle this from the people who want to catch the fraudulent stain machines. Some point in mid 2023, we're gonna launch mainnet Genesis event, and it's gonna be exciting. Hopefully, it will combine with Celeste's mainnet, and we're gonna see a lot of rollapps submitting a lot of data to Celestia, and getting a lot of liquidity from Dimension, and really like implementing the modular vision and just creating this alternate dimension of Cosmos rollups. And like I'm looking forward to it. I'm just seeing it coming into place each day that I come to work and work with like the amazing team that we have. Yeah, it's super exciting.
Well, that is music to my ears. Stoked to hear that your guys' launch is sort of, in close tandem with ours. And just as I the only tweet
Hopefully,
I,
fingers crossed, man. It's just.
yeah, yeah. Well, I was saying that. Yeah, fingers crossed. Also, I mean, in general, whenever you're shipping, blockchain software, it is so difficult and complex, and there can be so many bugs and things that go wrong, and so people need to understand that like that happens all the time. And so that's why even for Ethereum upgrading to proof of stake took so long. It's just a very, very delicate thing. But anyway, I was about to say that for me, 2023 is going to be the year of modular. It's going to be when modular stops becoming just like a buzzword and like something that people talk about in theory. And it's going to become something that's actually real and out there in the world that people can build with. Obviously, it's still going to be early days for modular. There's still a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of the tech stack is still in development and going to take time to mature, but it's going to be real, and it's going to be like a new chapter for the entire blockchain space starting this year. And Dimension is a huge part of that. So, Ishai, I'm just stoked that you were able to come on the podcast today, and I'm excited for people to learn more about Dimension. And I think that this is just the beginning of a much longer partnership and conversation, and hopefully we can follow up sometime maybe later in the year to hear how things are
Maybe in
going.
Tel Aviv or Hawaii, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. But yeah, once again, thank you for coming on, and excited for the modular future to be building it together.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And lots to come for building this new internet. It is what it is.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again.
All right, man.
Take care.